SIPC.
WyoJam 2026 Outdoor Concerts in Downtown Sheridan. Four nights, big stage, country, rock, and hip-hop. Wednesday, free concert benefiting Reach with Jared Morris.
I'll be here waiting for the show.
Thursday, rock the night with Shoot to Thrill, Blow Your Top, and Recaptured. Friday, Afro Man and Ying Yang Twins. And Saturday, Michael Ray. WyoJam 2026, July 8th through the 11th. Get your tickets online at wyojam.com.
Something strange is growing at Sheridan College. Don't miss the Broadway musical theater intensive production of the cult classic musical comedy Little Shop of Horrors by Howard Ashman. A hilarious rock-infused adventure full of unforgettable characters, incredible performances, and a plant with a mind of its own. Join them at Kinnison Hall and the Whitney Center for the Arts for performances Friday, June 26th at 7 p.m. and Saturday, June 27th at 2 and 7 p.m. Tickets are available now at sheridan.edu/Broadway.
Erie Sheridan Community, the countdown begins. The Tournament of Knights rides into the Sheridan County Fairgrounds on July 25th. Experience thrilling jousting, daring knights, live entertainment, tasty fare, and fun for the whole kingdom. Gather your family and join the adventure of the summer. This is CHAPS' major fundraiser, and tickets are on sale now on the CHAPS website. Don't miss the Tournament of Knights, where legends come to life.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Wednesday, June 24th, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting. And this is Public Pulse, and this morning we are joined by University of Wyoming Director of Internal Communications, Mr. Chad Baldwin. Good morning, Chad. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Floyd. Good to be with you.
How have you seen a lot of rain lately?
Oh, we've seen some here and there. It's been very welcomed, but we want to be grateful for that, but also realize it's probably could use a lot more.
Yeah, absolutely. We're kind of in that same boat. We ended up having a couple nasty little storms, and due to the Elk Fire, some worries about mud flows. So when it comes, it comes. And boy, it really kind of gives us a little downpour. But then, I don't know, I guess 15, 20 minutes later, it's sunny all over again.
Yeah, well, we really need that moisture when we got the lightning going on, because then you worry about more fires like that one. So,
Yeah. I'm really hoping we don't have a tough fire season in any part of the state. I know you guys have got some dry spots down there due to a little bit of beetle kill up in those woods.
Yep, that's right. They're kind of a tinderbox, you bet.
Now, switching gears on you real quick, and this is kind of a big one. UW will be under new leadership next week. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, July 1st, we'll have a new president, Shane Reeves, a Wyoming native, coming to us from West Point, U.S. Military Academy, where he's been a top academic leader there, and President Seidel, who's served us for 6 years. We'll be moving out of the president's office, and so anyway, it's a very significant. It's a milestone for the university, and a lot of appreciation for President Seidel, a lot of excitement for President Reeves, a new leader.
Now, President Seidel, I can remember one of his main priorities, or at least I feel, was recruitment, really going out there and kind of upping the recruitment for UW, which I would guess, you know, kind of as an outsider looking in, it looks like that was pretty successful.
Well, you know, Floyd, it was really tough. President Seidel came in right when COVID hit. And you know, it was, we all kind of want to just forget that episode, actually, because of the problems it caused. But we had some momentum going with enrollment, and then, as happened across the country, when COVID hit, universities had some troubles. And so the good news is that last fall we had an increase in our enrollment, overall enrollment. We had our second biggest class of Wyoming freshmen in the last 17 years, and we now are seeing an uptick in a couple of neighboring states that are important to us, and that's Colorado and Nebraska. And so, we feel like the ship has been steadied here, and we're back on course. And you know, there's just lots of headwinds. I mean, there is an enrollment cliff that's hitting us nationwide. There's just not as many high school graduates out there, but we're a lot of focus being made on this has under President Seidel, and I've interacted with the incoming president Reese enough to know it will certainly be a priority of his as well.
What usually takes place around the university when presidents come in and take office? Are there new initiatives, heavy policy changes? Is there a lot of excitement? What's that like?
So there's a lot of anticipation. In the case here with incoming President Reese, and really was kind of the case with President Seidel as well, there's not any instant like first day, boom, we're going to change this and this and this. I mean, that, you know, when there are some staffing organizational sort of things that can be done first, but President Reese has indicated he wants to listen. He's going to spend the first number of weeks and months hearing what people's concerns are, hearing their aspirations, hearing their things they're happy with, things maybe they want improvements on, and nothing immediate that I'm sensing from him, just a feeling that there are greater horizons out there for us as well. So a desire for us to become even better than we are, and more well-known than we are, you know, more effective in serving the state than we are, all that stuff that is there. But no specific, you know, like this is the top priority we're going to go after right away. Nothing, not that. Top priority coming in is to be listening.
Yeah. I think that's a fantastic strategy. Come in, hear people's concerns, and address them. It sounds simple, but it can be pretty tough to put into practice. When it comes to getting to know people, I think, you know, we're going to talk about some great sports achievements coming up, folks. But one thing that I want to address is the idea of getting to know a university, knowing that a university exists. Sports play a big part in that, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. It's our front porch in many, many ways. Boy, it's there's nothing else in UW that can attract a crowd of 25,000 people on a Saturday, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
as great as everything else is, I mean, that's the stuff people come for. And I can tell you, President Reese is a huge athletics fan, he's indicated he might even be down on the field on those football games Saturdays. So it's a huge priority of his. He's already articulated that. And being a very competitive program in the Mountain West Conference and going for championships, that's a top priority. Absolutely.
Well, I'll tell you what, Chad, if I was president, that's probably a perk that I would take advantage of far too often. I think I'd be on that field every opportunity I could get.
Yep. For sure.
Now, speaking of wildfires, as we were at the beginning of the show, there's a story that you put up. I decided to jump in there and try to get this kind of more eyes on it because I really like a new platform that was developed right there at the University of Wyoming. Let's talk about the new wildfire platform, what this is, and why it was created.
Yeah, it's a new information platform that's available to the public, and it's for everybody to assess what is the risk of wildfire at my residence or in my property or what, you know, the place I like to recreate. I mean, it's a detailed statewide layered app that you can see here's where wildfire risk is high, and then, you know, what kind of steps might you be able to take to try to mitigate or prepare for a wildfire? And this actually, Floyd, comes from state law during the 2025 legislative session that called for utilities to identify high-risk fire zones in their service areas and then have procedures for inspecting infrastructure and managing vegetation and so on. And so Tri-State Generation and Transmission, one of our rural electric co-op electricity providers, reached out to the university, and they provided some funding, and the university responded and has created this this app now that's available to the public. And we hope it will be used, and I hope it will be helpful for people.
That's pretty incredible, because if we really think about it, it makes you wonder why we – and I'm sure there were other – maybe not apps or programs, but techniques to try and do this. Identify what is a fire risk and where. So if I was a developer, I could take advantage of this new platform, correct?
Absolutely.
Is this free? Does a fee come with this?
No, it's free. Yeah, it's free for the public to use. And it's interesting, Floyd, we got to detail like, you can go down to the level of saying, what is the burn probability, and what is the potential length of flames? So it gets down to that kind of detail. It makes sense that the more heavily forested areas are those that where you're going to have the potential for bigger fires. But it goes down and covers the whole state, and it's interesting. I'm sure folks. Innately, you kind of know a little bit you're pretty close to some big trees and what kind of condition the trees are on and all that. But this kind of eliminates the guesswork on it and provides real data.
That's pretty incredible. I think if, you know, anybody who's building anything, especially out in rural or forested areas, this is a fantastic tool to have in your pocket. Whip it out and look to see what's the fire risk around here and how can I mitigate that risk, cut that down to preserve not only utilities, but homes, playgrounds, all kinds of situations or locations. And I don't see why people wouldn't have this in their pocket. This sounds pretty in-depth. How did this get developed? Who was behind this?
So it's our Wyoming Geographic Information Science Center, which goes by the acronym WGISC here at UW, along with our Department of Ecosystem Science and Management, which is in the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, and Natural Resources. So they've aggregated a whole bunch of data. So I can't give you all necessarily all the sources for it, but publicly available information from wildlife, from land management agencies and such, and it's put it all together and put it in on a map essentially that has color and shades and things like that and different layers to be able to give you a visual look at the geography of Wyoming.
That's incredible, and this is free for the public to use. You can jump on there. You can take advantage of this. Thanks to the power company that funded this operation. Yes, it was law, but they knew where to go. Head to the University of Wyoming, find the people who know, and let's see what they can develop. And that sounds like exactly what was accomplished here. That's Wildfire, WYLDFIRE. Now, can we just get this on any app store?
Let's see. Well, I think you should just probably go to the URL, which is wildfire, just what you described, wildfire.wygisc.org. And I think that's the best place to do it. There may be, I should have been more prepared, Floyd, to tell you if this is an app you can, buy and put on your phone. But I think go to that URL and it'll give you what you need.
Fantastic. And I'll make sure to get that link up for people out there. I ran a story on it before, borrowing a lot from the university. Chad, I love the information that you guys put up there. And if we can find that link, we'll get it up there so you can have this in your pocket, good to go. You can walk around your own property. You can look to see if there's any fire mitigation steps that you can take to help preserve your own property as we head into what looks to be maybe a pretty dry summer. So this might be a great move. One more thing I want to talk to you about before we go to the commercial, and that is we were talking about sports a little bit, the attention that it brings to the University of Wyoming. Chad, I'm going to shamefully admit to you that I did not know we had a Wyoming Cowboys Motorsports. What is this?
Yeah, it's Wyoming Motorsports. It's a student organization here, Floyd, at the University of Wyoming. And they race vehicles. And the one that people know about was they are the champions of the SAE Formula Hybrid Plus Electric competition. And this was in New Hampshire earlier this spring. And they're racing a car that they built.
Incredible.
It's a hybrid electric vehicle. And you see the picture in the press release we put out, that was sporting that good brown gold. And they beat everybody. It's our mechanical engineering students primarily, although the student organization is open to students from everywhere. So, you know, whatever field they're of study they're in. So anyway, very cool. They won this thing for the second year in a row, by the way.
For the second year in a row, the championships out there. And student organization, that means it's like a club. It's not a class that you take.
Yeah.
It's a club that you can join, get to know some people if you're into engines or mechanicking, or maybe you just like to be part of a great team. This sounds like a good team.
It is, yeah. You know, it's like you mentioned, it's the mechanical, electrical engineering and fabrication, but also business and marketing. They have to secure their sponsors.
Oh, wow.
And do the whole business side of it too. And so, you know, their sponsors include, you know, like some private companies and foundations and things like that. So they have to raise the money too. And so very successful, very exciting.
That is incredible. All student-led. A lot of great motivated individuals who obviously very knowledgeable when it comes to this stuff, because this is a hybrid. This isn't straight fuel. This isn't straight electric. This is a hybrid. Those are very complicated pieces of machinery. And on that, we're going to take a quick commercial break. More with our University of Wyoming right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust customers, your next adventure could start with your debit card.
With the Rooted in Adventure sweepstakes, every eligible purchase earns you an entry.
Just use your First Federal MasterCard debit card now through July 31st.
Don't have one? Visit First Federal to get your card and start earning entries.
The more you use it, the more chances you'll receive.
You can win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago.
Or a $1,000 or $500 prepaid MasterCard.
Just go online to efirstfederal.bank for full details.
The Sheridan Farmers Market is back for another great season at Whitney Commons Park. You'll find local produce, meat, eggs, coffee, baked goods, and outstanding locally handcrafted items this Thursday and every Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m. through September 10th. See the best our hardworking local producers have to offer at the Sheridan Farmers Market, Thursday evenings in Whitney Commons Park. Sponsored in part by Sheridan Media. And remember, please leave your pets at home.
Each season at the Cozy Corner Gift Shop brings a new reason to stop by the gift shop inside of Sheridan Memorial Hospital. You'll be surprised by the handbags, sweaters and wraps, jewelry and home goods, cards and thoughtful gifts. It's amazing how they fit it all in there. Shopping at Cozy Corner also means you're giving back to care in your hospital programs. Visit the Cozy Corner, just inside the front entrance of Sheridan Memorial Hospital, where every gift shop purchase has a purpose.
It's the 2026 Cars Club Car, Motorcycle, and Model Car Show and Veterans Resource Fair, Saturday, June 27th at the VA Medical Center. Registration's open to the public Friday evening from 4 to 6:30 at Blacktooth Brewing Company. Late registration is Saturday from 8 to 10 at the VA. The show and shine runs from 10 to 3 with over 40 awards. Then the cruise for cash ends the day at 3:30. The Cars Club Show and Shine, sponsored in part by Sheridan Media.
Some people golf, some people garden. You fish your bass off. Yep, it's that time of year again. And Mead Lumber and Camco Federal Credit Union want your photos. Fish your bass off and submit your photos for a chance to reel in $600 in prizes. Big fish, accidental stick catches, we want to see them all. Cast your line and post your pics on the contest page at SheridanMedia.com through Labor Day. Fish your bass off from Mead Lumber and Camco Federal Credit Union.
We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're sitting with the University of Wyoming Director of Internal Communications, Chad Baldwin. Now, Chad, there was another story that I put up not very long ago addressing wastewater management. I had to do a little research into this myself because it can become very complicated when you start looking at some of this energy production, what it takes. You know, when somebody drives by a refinery or a pump station, you look out there, you see a bunch of different things. And unless you're really in the industry, you don't know what each one of those little buildings or maybe even large water tanks do. So let's talk about the new Department of Energy wastewater management project that's taking place right there at the University of Wyoming. What is this?
Yeah, Floyd, this is about helping our coal-fired power plants be more efficient and perhaps actually creating a new source for critical minerals. So, this is pretty detailed stuff, but coal-fired power plants, they generate electricity. They generate wastewater, and the water is used to transport ash from the boiler to collection and management systems. And it's a widely deployed thing, and it's proven to be effective. But with the study that's going to be happening here at UW is looking at ways to maybe reduce water use and minimize that wastewater generation through what they call bottom ash drying. And so that it's not using water to deal with the coal ash, but to dry it and then handle it that way. That way you're not generating wastewater, but you're also making that ash more accessible for the possibility of pulling critical minerals out of it.
That's interesting. What critical minerals, or did they say which critical minerals they were really looking at that could be hiding in that ash?
So, there's a lot of talk about these rare earths, Floyd. That's the kind of stuff we're talking about. And if you're asking me for the actual scientific names of them, I'm not going to be any good for you this morning.
Neither am I.
Because there's a lot of them, but it's a big thing, and it's big. There are, we have we have rare earth mines in development in Wyoming. We already have some processing facility in development, or actually operating even. I think in Upton one is going now. So it's coal ash is a potential source for rare earths and critical minerals, which is fascinating. So we got a lot of coal, and we're using it to generate electricity. Have been for years, and the federal administration has really emphasized on keeping that going, and the state's university is there to try to make that provide that scientific support to help this key industry in Wyoming.
I just find it very fascinating. This is a material that we've considered wasteful for how many decades, and now they're starting to see it, and they're going, there's something in there that is very valuable to new developments. Critical earth minerals are key in the development of lithium batteries and computer components, and even small amounts of this stuff yield great results for various devices and objects that we use every day now. And it's fantastic that we can kind of bring the development or the discovery or the mining of these closer to home right here in the U.S. And to think that we have had this, I think is fantastic that somebody really kind of stepped in and said, let's take a closer look at that. Who's behind this project?
So they're called principal investigators in these things, Floyd. And there's two of them. They're co-PIs, they're called. One of them is Erica Belmont. She's in our mechanical engineering and School of Energy Resources. And then Trina Eaglesrud Pfeiffer. She's in our Center for Carbon Capture and Conversion here in the School of Energy Resources at UW. So you got some engineering expertise, you got energy expertise tied into carbon, and anyway, they're leading this project. Got $400,000 from the Department of Energy for it, and it just adds to this suite of research we're doing. There's separate research happening already with trying to find critical minerals in coal ash. That's underway. But this is just now taking a look at a way to perhaps make more coal ash available and to help coal-fired power plants deal with having less wastewater.
Two birds, one stone. You and I are constantly talking about these fantastic developments, huge research projects, things that, you know, happening right here in Wyoming that are going to affect the rest of the nation, quite possibly the rest of the world. One thing that I always want people to realize, students at the University of Wyoming are taking part in these groundbreaking research projects, aren't they?
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's not just graduate students, Floyd, like some big universities would be. Undergraduates get a chance to come in and do this stuff. And so, you know, that's one of the real, you know, we kind of refer to ourselves as kind of being the Goldilocks University here, where we're big enough to have this kind of stuff, but then we're small enough that students really get to engage in it. And this sort of hands-on education is what prepares people for successful careers, and it's also a heck of a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it's also a little bit of work, but it's a lot of fun to be involved in this stuff.
Individuals in science, engineering, you know, the discovery, or is the goal, but the questions are the driving force, and I love the fact that somebody can get down there and really get their hands into these projects, these, you know, research methods that really are groundbreaking. University of Wyoming has really gotten a lot of great projects kicked off. I'd say, you know, always kind of have, but it just feels like you guys have really started pumping these fantastic research projects out lately. And some, you know, working with NASA, working with federal governments and agencies, trying to solve problems all over the place. Let's go out on a high note. Chad, for those who don't know, who is Miss Josie, and help me with the name, Musil?
Yep.
And what did she accomplish?
Yep, she's one of our students here at the University of Floyd. She also happens now to be the National all-around cowgirl and college rodeo.
Fantastic.
Won the national all-around title and the goat tying championship at the CNFR there in Casper last week, and helped lead. And really, there were some other team members contributed a few points, but she led the cowgirls to a second place team finish as well. And so, yeah, a lot to celebrate there. This cowgirl she's from Coleman, South Dakota, but she's a junior here at UW, and that means we got one more good year out of here to try to repeat.
Absolutely.
And with the contributions of a few more team members, win that national team championship.
What does this really say about the rodeo program at UW?
Well, Coach Seth Glaus has come in and is just doing a great job. I mean, not only did the cowgirls finish second, the cowboys finished sixth in the nation. After being like 34th in the nation the year before, so really made huge strides.
Wow.
There. Had some top 10 finishers in both saddle bronc and bareback riding, and you know, some ropers who did well. So anyway, I think we're on the rise. And you know what? Very appropriate, right? That the Cowboy State, where the mascot's the cowboy, would be great in college rodeo.
And
I saw the CNFR is going to be staying in Casper for 10 more years. They just signed that deal, and you know, between that and then of course we have great local rodeos, and then the daddy of them all there in Cheyenne, and now the PRCA is coming to Wyoming too for its headquarters. We're going to be rodeo central here, Floyd. Pretty exciting.
It is exciting. I'll tell you what, you know, there's rodeo, I'd have to say, is probably my favorite sport. Like a lot of people in Wyoming, you know, I grew up in a rural community, and that was the highlight of the year. When Dad would get everybody in the truck, we'd head down there with our blankets, because it still got cold at night in Afton, and we'd all gather around for the Lincoln County Rodeo. And, yeah, it was just an exciting time. I had the opportunity to finally take my wife to the Lincoln County Rodeo last year. She loved it. It's a fantastic event. We got the YO Rodeo coming up here in a very short period of time. Get out there, see what you can. It's a great time. If you've never experienced a rodeo, this year is the year. Chad, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to speak with us as often as you do. It's always great speaking with you, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, Floyd.
All right, when we return, we're going to speak with the ladies from the Sheridan County Library System. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust invites you to the Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes.
Now through July, every eligible purchase with your First Federal MasterCard debit card earns an entry.
You don't have a card? Open an account online to start participating.
The more you use your card, the more chances you earn.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago, or prepaid MasterCards worth $1,000 or $500.
The Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes on now at First Federal Bank and Trust. Go to efirstfederal.bank for full details.
The City of Sheridan Weed and Pest would like to announce that mosquito fogging will begin starting the week of June 15th and continue through the mosquito breeding season. Fogging will take place Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evenings when necessary. For more information, to report heavy concentrations of mosquitoes, or to request that your home be in a no-spray zone, please call the mosquito hotline at 307-655-8297 or visit the website at www.sheridanwy.gov.
Looking for luxury? Stop in and experience the true comfort and art of Stressless Furniture now at Carroll's Furniture, your Northeast and Central Wyoming's exclusive Stressless dealer.
Each piece is designed with Scandinavian precision and a luxury that you feel the moment you take a seat. Whether it's a sleek recliner, balance adapt sofa, or office chair, Stressless redefines what relaxation and style should be.
Carroll's Furniture, 340 North Main, where quality, luxury, and comfort come home to you.
Wyoming roads demand tires you can trust, and now's the perfect time to save at Sheridan Honda. For a limited time, buy three tires and get one free on all tires. Whether you're commuting, traveling, or heading into the mountains, our Honda-trained experts will help you find the right tires for your vehicle and keep you driving with confidence. Plus, your free tires included with dealer installation and a two-wheel or four-wheel alignment. Get your vehicle adventure ready and save big. Visit Sheridan Honda today. Sheridan Honda, your hometown Honda dealer.
This 4th of July, the spirit of America's 250th stampedes into Buffalo for the biggest American birthday bash in Wyoming.
Have mercy, looky there, what's she doing in here? I think I just fell in love.
The Red, White, and West 250, honoring America's 250th anniversary with hot new country western star Cole Goodwin.
And I'm the one she's missing more.
I'm Tommy B from the Coyote Morning Show, proud to bring the footstop and two-step and music of Cole Goodwin to downtown Buffalo. The Red, White, and West 250 is more than a concert. It's a celebration of the land we love and the western spirit that still runs strong in Wyoming. A night of country music, small-town pride, and America's 250th birthday celebrated the way it ought to be. Don't wait. Get your tickets now at wildfeeder.com or at the gate for the Red, White, West 250 with Cole Goodwin.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, we are joined by the Sheridan County Library System Director, Amy Long, and our Youth Services Manager, Zola Shockley. Good morning, ladies. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Good morning.
It is always great having you girls on here. Great things happen at the library. I usually end up laughing through a lot of this when we talk about some of these programs, because it's just a good time.
It is. It is. So do we.
the image of the library has changed so dramatically since I started speaking with the Sheridan County Library. Mainly, you know, you ladies, you make the environment fun, engaging. It's not the stuffy library where people are being shushed all the time. This is a community location. This is someplace where everyone can come.
Yeah.
Everyone can have fun. Everyone can find anything that they want.
Including a quiet space. I mean, let's be honest. There's room for that too.
I actually have a fun anecdote of we got some old donations recently and we got a Sesame Street book. And, you know, everybody says libraries are changing. You know, libraries are a different thing now than what they used to be. This Sesame Street book was from 86 and they show the library and it's Grover listening to records and like there's story time happening. There's artwork up. So it really is funny. We keep on like acting like this is a new thing. But in 86, Sesame Street was just like, yeah, this is what a library
is. It's a lot of different things.
So, I don't know that it is changing that much. I think maybe people are becoming more aware of it.
Yeah.
Love that. Yeah.
I think it's just always been a space where a lot of different things happen. And part of the point of the renovation is making sure that there are those different areas. So there's the children's wing, we call it, which is under construction right now. So everything's kind of happening in the same space right now, which is a little unusual and makes it a little bussier and busier than normal, but there are still quiet times, even in the summer, where folks can sit down and peacefully read a book in a little bit of quiet time. But yeah, there's the idea is that you have sections and spaces that are meant for different purposes and things. So you have the study rooms and you have the meeting rooms and you have the quiet study area and the computers and you have the teen zone and you have a creative space that we're putting in and you have the children's area that is where there's more bustle and hubbub and community sitting around and chatting while kids are playing or reading books or having story time. And you have adult programs that are built around adults and seniors and what they're doing. And then you have children's programs. Like there is a variety of things because our community does a variety of things. The reason it all happens at the library is because the more time you spend in a library around the books in the collection, the more time they have to utilize the books in the collection, take those books in collection home. The more collection that children have in their home, the more likely they are to be good readers, the more likely they are to have good skills in those areas and do well in school, and the more likely we are to have a literate community that then succeeds in life and also uses the library for the resources we have ongoing all throughout their life, as we like to say, from birth all the way through to their senior years. And so that is what we're here for.
And it's creative and critical thinking.
Yeah.
That's another thing that reading contributes to.
Yeah. Curiosity, you know, what are you curious in? I mean, that's what Google does, is like anytime you have a question, you go answer it. But the nice thing about the library is you get to do that, but you get to rabbit hole into a whole variety of books and genres. And hey, if you want to read every fiction fantasy novel that we have in our fiction collection, you can do that. If you want to read all of the, you know, Clive Owen's books, you can go do that. Like, you want to get into the Louis L'Amour's, we got them. Like,
that's a heck of a collection.
That is awesome.
The Louis L'Amour collection,
dude,
is a heck of a collection.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty big.
When I was a little kid, my uncle had a little collection of his own, and I used to steal his Louis L'Amour books and
take
them home.
They're so fun. He's
prolific.
Just, yeah.
He's no James Patterson, but...
Right? I mean, he's no C.J. Box, but
it's the classic cowboy stories, you know? And written at a time, kind of like in a pulpy fiction, that... As a little boy or a little girl, you know, sitting there reading it, you got the hero riding into town.
No.
It really creates that image. And boy, I just gravitated towards that when I was a little kid. And they're quick reads.
Right?
Which just
but they feel grown up, too.
But they do.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It feels like you're reading, more adult and when you're just a little 14-year-old
kid. And talk
about
escapism. You want to leave, like... the culture and the world that you're in, man, that'll take you to a different place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And my father has a very large collection of Louis L'Amour stories now in one book.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think he still cracks that thing open every once in a while just to kind of disappear
right?
now and then. And now, speaking of disappearing,
Yeah.
Getting into another world. Speaking about those critical thinking skills, those articulation skills, the reading skills, let's talk about the summer reading program.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
I saw the smile come on your face when I said it. Zoila, tell me about it.
So this year, it's finally dinosaur summer.
Finally. Woo-hoo!
When I started doing this summer reading program about 4 years ago, you get to see what's coming up. And every year I've been, is it dinosaur summer yet? It's finally dinosaur summer. So we're doing all sorts of fun prehistoric things. And who doesn't love dinos? But we're tying it all into reading and crafts and art. And we have programs every single day, multiple programs every single day. And then we also have a revamped adult summer reading program.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Adult and teen summer reading program, which is very, very exciting this year. Cassie worked super hard on it and found really cool prizes for adults. I keep on running into adults who are like, well, I'm just doing the reading challenge for fun. I don't need the prizes. I don't want to take that away from somebody else, which is so sweet. But take the prizes, guys. We have them. You deserve a little treat for your reading. So if you think it's not for you, it's for you.
What's an example of a prize that you guys are handing out for adult reading?
So for the adult ones, Cassie has these lovely bookmarks that come with a little watercolor strip and a paintbrush, and you can watercolor paint.
Oh, fantastic.
Bookmarks. So she has crafty bookmarks. For kids, for our first week, we have dinosaurs that hatch out of eggs and grow in water. So,
those are
and stickers
fun.
And tattoos. Mm-hmm. So we have lots of fun stuff.
That's always so fun. You know, I can remember when those came out. I think it was late 80s, early 90s that hit the TV. And my family wasn't the type to go out and buy that kind of stuff. So I never got the opportunity to do that until I had kids of my own.
That's right.
And I was, let's go buy some dinosaurs.
See, right. I think I was in a similar thing where we didn't buy them, but I think I won them in the summer reading program. That's the prize that has been. And it's funny because they have different ones now that are like sponges that just like kind of pop open. These ones are not that. They're the old school rubber ones. And the kids are like, it's going to take 3 days for this dinosaur to grow. And then I have to be like, when I was a kid, yeah, we had to wait 5 days for a rubber alligator.
It teaches patience.
It does.
It teaches patience.
And then it's not done in 5 minutes. And that way, I think it's better for the parents.
Because the prize we're like, that keeps giving.
And, you know, the parents can go into the science behind it. Mm-hmm. What is this really made out of?
Yes.
You know, what's breaking it down and
let's
why?
Go find a book.
Let's go find a book. There you go. Now, the summer reading program has broken records for what, 2 or 3 years now?
I don't know. I think every year we've grown it. So.
It's, mm-hmm. I mean, this is a fantastic program. You're mm-hmm. getting more and more kids and teens and adults mm-hmm. jumping on board with this.
Yeah.
What does it feel like to look over your shoulder at those numbers? And then look forward. Are there steps that you take to say, hey, I want to hit that number again? Or is it less about the number?
It's more scary. About... No.
Yeah, I can understand that.
No, it really isn't about the number as much. Like, that's a really great way to explain it to people. It's a fast and dirty way of like, okay, we had 100 more people this year. But... for me, I think you can really see it in the patrons. It's funny when I do Wyoming Reads each year, when I have kids that, you know, all of the first graders come to the library. We weren't able to this year because of construction, but I went to some schools. But each year as I'm going into classrooms or schools, I'm seeing a lot more kids who are familiar with the library, who know me. Like, so before it used to be a small collection of kids who were like, yeah, I'm a library kid. But now I'm saying, it's probably about 50% of the class has been to the library, knows what we're doing. So it's things like that where I can see that and just our participation and talking to people one-on-one. It's difficult to share those interactions with people. So that's why we have our numbers and we're able to say, yeah, we beat our numbers. That's great. But I do think if you're curious at all, all you have to do is stop by the library and you can see the impact that all of that growth is having. I mean, we had to get creative since the children's library is closed, but we found some really cool stuff to go outside. We have a little sandbox for kids. We have tents for kids to read in on the lawn. And it's funny because if you drive by, you see kids playing on that lawn still all day. And I mean, we have a really cool park across the street from us. So if they're willing to hang out on our lawn, I feel like we've got something going on. But it is just the sense of community. If you see people meeting there and like, we have people out in the picnic blankets all day, you know, chatting and their kids playing. It's really great. So those are the things that you can see. And it's easy to say, yeah, we had 700 people sign up last year. You know, we're hoping to have 800 people sign up this year. But it's those individual moments or just, you know, people rushing in and saying, oh, my gosh, I need to print this. It's really important. It's those things that it's neat that we're becoming the place that people suggest, like, oh, you need to print something, go to the library. So I think we're getting the word out and we're seeing that in the building.
And Amy, how does that make you feel? Because now you've got 50% of these classes. Once that library resource gets in their blood, I'm just going to go to the library. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to bother with this. I'm going to head to the library. I know the ladies up there. I know the resources that I can get. I mean, these library kids turn into library teens, turn into library adults.
Absolutely.
That's got to feel pretty good knowing, you know, hey, the library's become a lot more than just the stereotypical library.
Absolutely. I think, you know, for a lot of reasons, one of the things we're doing this summer that excites me is for every book that's read, we have a little toy dinosaur that they're putting in a container. And the reason I like that is I'm really visual. And I like to see visually how much reading is getting done through this program, how many books are being read through this program so that you have a tangible thing that you can say, this is improving the amount that kids are reading physical books. Mm-hmm. Because there's, and it isn't just physical books. Like we count audiobooks, we count ebooks, we count, you know, Tumble books and Wonder books and all the different ways you can read. But when you think about people talking about the death of reading or the death of our literacy skills or, oh gosh, you know, kids are just losing the skill and these literacy skills are dying. Like the libraries support literacy in a way that we often forget about. And all of the things we do are to help bring people back to this core skill. And the summer reading program, as fun as it is, and as much of the programming that we do that is around creativity and tying creativity and arts back to literacy and how all of these skills tie together for language and creativity and arts and visualizing your reading and tying that into all of the ways that that encourages reading throughout your life. It all comes back to that physical skill of reading and literacy and how that keeps the community tied together into such an important thing that carries you through as a community. And seeing that dino pile grow and where it's going to be at the end of the year, I'm just so excited to see that at the end and how tall it's going to be. It's going
after
to be
the first week, we were like, we're going to need more plastic dinos.
I know.
That's fantastic.
We've already ordered
and they're
thousands.
Teeny tiny and it's already like almost halfway full and it's just started. So
that's got to feel pretty great.
It feels amazing because that's what we're there for is to initiate the love of reading, initiate those grounding literacy skills for kids as they go into school, and then to build that throughout the summer with this program to help encourage adults to keep reading as they grow up, teens to keep that skill, and to really showcase how reading can help us survive some of the hardest things in our life, in my opinion. And some of the hardest times in our culture, and really how it can bond us. And that is, I think, one of the greatest things the library does is through these programs and events and all of these things is help us connect back to each other, which post-COVID, I just think is one of the greatest services we provide is just that connection. So I'm super excited. I think, you know, being a tax-supported organization, anytime that the library comes to mind and people think that's tax dollars well spent, and they don't think, gee, I wonder why do we keep supporting this institution, blah, 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 you know, the more that they remember the library in a way that thinks, well, I'm so glad that we have that in our community.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that's a moment that's a win, you know.
It is such a mirror of us,
mm-hmm.
the library. I mean, I don't mean to get too philosophical towards the end of the show here, but it is all cultures, all beliefs, all thoughts, and having access to that is, you know, really something that the majority of the billions of individuals in our history have not had. You know, this is a privilege to to have access to ideas, ideas that can change us, ideas that can form us, and ideas that can do that to an entire community. Just by reading. And it's something that is so, you know, like you said, kind of looked at as, oh, well, can you read or not? But it's what are you reading? You know, and the, what are you using that for, whether it be fun, research, or history, it doesn't matter. It's as long as you get in there and do it. Zola, how do I join the reading program?
Come to the library and pick up a reading log. That's, it's just that simple. We are 1 week in. We're on week two right now, but you can play catch up or you can just start whenever you want. It's fine. Start. Just come to the library, please.
Little kids. That's teens.
Teens.
And that's adults. There's a summer reading program for everyone.
We have prizes for babies. So, like, I didn't have to buy non-chokable baby toys for each week. They just get something out of the baby bin. So, yeah, we even have it for babies because you should be reading to your babies.
There you go. I love that. I love that.
All ages.
Reading to them develops much better reading skills later on. Ladies, I've run out of time with you, but I love having you in here all the time.
So great to visit.
I love catching up. I had other questions, but I got sidetracked.
Check out our programs. They're on our website, SheridanCountyLibrary.org.
Fantastic, Zola. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Sheridan Media's Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust customers, your next adventure could start with your debit card.
With the Rooted in Adventure sweepstakes, every eligible purchase earns you an entry.
Just use your First Federal MasterCard debit card now through July 31st.
Don't have one? Visit First Federal to get your card and start earning entries.
The more you use it, the more chances you'll receive.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago.
Or a $1,000 or $500 prepaid MasterCard.
Just go online to efirstfederal.bank for full details. Celebrate the 50th anniversary of Whiz Bang Fireworks. Come on over to the stand and sign up for giveaways. Whiz Bang Fireworks is open now with a huge selection of fireworks. Whiz Bang Fireworks will get your 4th of July off to the Big Bang, plus celebrate the 50th anniversary. Whiz Bang Fireworks, open daily, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. on North Main Street behind Pizza Hut. Please follow all local laws. Whiz Bang Fireworks, celebrating their 50th anniversary.
Looking for that feeling. Need a boost in Sheridan? Come on by the Health Nut on 5th Street. Give your day a try. Soup, salad, smoothies, fresh and sweet. Quality supplements for the path you meet. The Health Nut on 5th, your wellness retreat.
Hey, a little help here. My oil change is way overdue, and I know you're ignoring my check engine light.
If your car could talk, would it tell you what it needs? At Midas in Sheridan, we speak fluent car. From everything under the hood to brakes and tires, Midas is your one stop for your ride. And right now, enter the What Does Your Ride Need sweepstakes on SheridanMedia.com for your chance to win a full year of oil changes from Midas. Enter now through June 24th on the contest page at